Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you this morning. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Very familiar verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Most of you probably know that by memory, that verse. The next verse, verse 29, isn't quite so familiar. But it tells us exactly what God's purpose is. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image or to the character of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You are his child. You are eternally secure. Because your salvation is not based upon what you do or didn't do. It's based upon your faith in what Jesus Christ has already done on Calvary. But for many people, they stop right at this point, saved, and yet fail to recognize the great plan and the great purpose that God has for each one of us as his children. And that is to conform us more and more to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to look at here in the Sunday school hour this morning is the importance. Why character is so important. One of the major aspects of our ministry as we minister to families, we have a website called characterjournal.com, and it lists resources that help to aid parents in teaching godly character to their children. And I have become very, very interested in this whole aspect of character and God's work in each one of our lives. So I want to look this morning at why character is so important. Number one, why we should study character in order to better understand the character of Jesus Christ. Now, if someone was to come up to you in the street and ask you the question, "What is your purpose in life?" How would you respond to that question? Would you respond by saying, "Well, my purpose in life is my job, or it's my ministry, or my purpose in life is my family"? What happens if you lose your job? What happens if you lose your ministry? What happens if you lose your family? As important as these things are, our purpose in life needs to be greater and bigger than these things. God's purpose for each one of us is described by Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "That I may know him." And there really is no higher goal in the Christian life. You see the Old Testament examples of Moses. He was a man who witnessed the miracles in Egypt, the plagues. He saw the Red Sea open and the armies of Egypt destroyed. He saw God provide for millions of people in a wilderness for 40 years. He saw all of these things. But in Exodus chapter 33, he was never content. And he said, "Lord, show me more of your glory." The psalmist David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." You see, our chief purpose in life is not our job. It's not even our ministry. But it's getting to know Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, "Take my yoke upon you," and what? What do we normally associate a yoke with? Yeah, exactly. He didn't say, "Take my yoke upon you and work for me," but "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And there are multitudes of people who are serving Jesus Christ who have never really taken the time to get to know him intimately. And you cannot get to know Jesus Christ intimately apart from understanding who he is in his character. You think of some of the character qualities that are personified in the person of Jesus. You see responsibility in Jesus. He's only 12 years old, and he's in a big city, and he's away from his family. But where is he found? He's found in the temple, and he's talking about the things of God. You see the character quality of obedience in Jesus. He says, I came not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. You see the quality of meekness in Jesus as he yields his right to a good reputation. He yields his right to wealth, and he yields his right to even being served. And he becomes a servant and goes to the cross. You see all of these character qualities in Jesus. You see this boldness as he confronts the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You see loyalty when he says, I do always the things that please the Father. You see determination when he says, I must needs go through Samaria. We don't know what Jesus looked like, and there are paintings of what Jesus looked like. It's probably nowhere close. But when we begin to study these character qualities, we get a beautiful picture of what Jesus looked like on the inside. So why is character important? Because through character, we get to better understand who Jesus really is. Secondly, why is character important? Why is the study of character important? In order to be conformed to his image ourselves, what's God's plan for your life? Well, it's to be more like Jesus, Romans 8:28. God wants us to be meek like Jesus is meek. He wants us to be humble like Jesus is humble. He wants us to be kind like Jesus is kind. In fact, the areas of conflict that we have in our lives, the difficulties, the trials, the conflicts that we encounter can help us to identify specific qualities that God is trying to build into our lives at that current time. One of the best ways to deal with our problems and trials and difficulties and understand ourselves in relation is in relation to character. If we have a problem with anger, and this is a major issue in many, even Christian families today, anger. You need to understand that God is trying to develop in you the qualities of meekness and deference. If you have continual conflicts and run-ins with other people, you need the character quality of humility. If you have trouble with being covetous, you need that character quality of contentment. One of the best ways to become more like the Lord Jesus is to ask yourself, what problem do I have? What issue do I have? What does my wife or my husband or other people say that I have an issue with? Tell me, if they tell me that I have a problem with anger, do they tell me that I have a problem with a negative critical spirit? Then we need to look at the character of Christ and see what character qualities God is trying to build in my life in order to counteract those things. So character is important because God is trying to build these qualities in each one of our lives. Thirdly, we need to understand character and we need to study character in order to understand why trials come into our lives. We've all had trials. And sometimes the brightest hope in the most discouraging of circumstances is to understand that God is using that trial for a purpose. And that purpose is to conform us to the image of his Son. And that's why instead of getting bitter and angry at people that hurt us and the people that wrong us, God wants to see them as tools or agents in his hands that he is using to accomplish his plan and purpose. We talked yesterday about Job and Joseph and how there are difficult circumstances, and yet they were able to look at those circumstances and see God's hand in it, and how God was using even the difficulties and trials they went through to accomplish his plan and purpose. Number four, why again is character so important? Character is important because we need it in order to get the guidance that we need. I think one of the reasons why many Christians have questions about the will of God and why some Christians make wrong decisions is because of a failure to develop godly character. Proverbs 11 and verse 3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The character of the upright shall guide them. And I believe what that's saying is, as long as we are developing that close, intimate walk with God and being open to what He is trying to do and build in our lives, that should be our major focus. Sometimes when we talk about God's will, what are we concerned about? Usually two things. Whenever someone asks a question about the will of God, we are concerned about our location or our vocation, where we should go or what we should do. And those are really secondary to what should be truly important. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, this is the will of God. And it's the same for every Christian. Even your sanctification. You don't have to pray about that. We know what God's will is. It's our sanctification. Sanctification is the process by which we are made more and more and more like Jesus and less like our ornery selves. That's God's plan for our life. That's God's will for our life, that we become more like Christ. And that's what He wants us to focus on. Not location or vocation, but focus on becoming more like His Son. And these other things will fall into place. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And the word acknowledge means to know Him. In every situation, know how Jesus would respond. In fact, a good question to ask ourselves in a situation is, what would Jesus do? And I know young people a number of years ago used to have little bracelets and jewelry with WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? That is a very good question to ask. Because it's whenever we break character that we step out of God's will. It's when you get angry and bitter towards someone instead of forgiving them that you get outside of God's will and you get off the right path. It's when you lie rather than being honest that you miss God's will. It's when we are irresponsible rather than being responsible that we step out of the right path. And I believe that if we are constantly open to what God is trying to build in our lives and make our major focus becoming the man and woman or young person of God that He wants us to be, then those other questions about where I should go and what I should do will fall right into place. But our major emphasis, our focus of God's will, is becoming more and more like Jesus. Number 5, why is character so important? In order to experience the blessing of God. Psalm 18 and verse 20, the psalmist says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." The Lord rewarded me according to my character. Because it's as we begin to develop the character of Christ in our lives that we begin to see the blessing of God in our lives. As we're truthful, we get the blessings of truthfulness. As we're responsible, we get the blessings of responsibility. As we are submissive to the authorities that God has placed over us, we get the blessings of that. You know, there are many promises in Scripture. But have you ever considered that many of those promises are conditional? Because oftentimes we just think of God's promises as we're going to benefit from them regardless of how we live the Christian life, but we're not. Let me give you some examples. Psalm 37:4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." It's a beautiful promise, isn't it? But there's a condition attached to it. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's the condition. We're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, then we don't benefit from the promise. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Beautiful promise. What's the condition? "Whose mind is stayed on thee." Many times we don't have that peace because our minds are fixed, are focused on, as Pastor talked yesterday about the storm, as Peter took his eyes off the Lord and focused on the storm and the trials and the difficulties he was about to encounter. But when our mind is focused and fixed on Jesus Christ, when our thoughts are in line with God's truth, we have perfect peace. Think of one in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and your mother, that things may go well for you. Do you know any young people today and things aren't going well for them? Many times it can be traced back to a violation of this conditional promise. And God works, and he's always at work in our lives, but life is held together by a very intricate series of cause and effect relationships. And you cannot obey God's word without being blessed. But you cannot ignore or disobey God's word without there being consequences in our lives. And the more we become like Jesus Christ, the more of God's blessing we will have on our lives. Number 6. Again, why is character so important? Why should we study character? In order to have a solid foundation upon which learning can take place. And if you have the opportunity to homeschool your children, this is so important. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, character, and to virtue, knowledge." And sometimes we get that turned around, don't we? If you teach a person knowledge without first teaching them character, what you end up with is an educated fool. And we have a tendency to think in our culture today that education or knowledge is a solution to every problem. And we see all the problems that we have in the cities and we say, oh, what they need is more education, and we pour more money into education. And that's not the problem. That's not the solution to the problems we're having in our country. We need to get back to character. We shortchange our children sometimes by providing them with material things, providing them with a college education, and yet as parents, we fail to teach them basic character qualities, such as meekness and obedience, and how to forgive when you've been hurt and when you've been wronged. You think of this quality of meekness is so incredibly important. It's probably one of the most Christ-like qualities. In fact, it's the only quality, the only character quality in the Bible that Jesus described himself. He said, "Behold, I am meek and lowly of spirit." You can't get along in a marriage without understanding meekness. You can't get along in a church without understanding meekness and knowing how to yield your rights. Now, I've been to church board meetings where men have been saved 30, 40, 50 years, but they were still spiritual babes in terms of their development of Christ-like character. And I can't overemphasize the importance of character training in the home. In case you haven't noticed it, godly character does not come naturally to our children. At least it didn't to mine. It needs to be taught. You don't need to teach your children how to steal. You don't need to teach them how to lie or cheat. You don't need to teach your children how to have a temper tantrum. All of that stuff comes pretty naturally to our children. But you do need to teach them self-control and kindness and forgiveness and truthfulness and obedience. These are character qualities that need to be taught. They're not being taught in the schools. They need to be taught in the home. And again, if you home educate your children, you have that wonderful opportunity to invest in the character development of your sons and daughters. But if you have a choice, teach your children punctuality over philosophy. Teach them meekness over mathematics. Teach them gratefulness over geometry. Now, I'm not against education, but I'm saying that we need to be more balanced. Education has become as though that is what is going to make our children successful. That is not what is going to make our children successful. Becoming more and more like Christ is what is going to make our children successful from God's perspective. Our children will probably make it through life without trigonometry and algebra, but they won't make it and be successful from God's perspective without developing these qualities of meekness and kindness and forgiveness. Number 7, again, why is character so important? In order to build the foundation of future godly generations. Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." We were visiting with some friends in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, and we had just read about Jonathan Edwards, and we just read a book about Jonathan Edwards and how he didn't just pray for his children's salvation, but he prayed for his grandchildren's salvation and his great-grandchildren's salvation all the way down the family line. And we were just talking about this to our friends, and this husband said, "You don't know, do you?" I said, "No, what?" "That my wife's maiden name is an Edwards, and she's a direct descendant of Jonathan Edwards." And she says, "It's true." And she told of all her family members that were serving in the mission field or serving in the pastorate, but were making, their lives were being used and invested in the kingdom of God. You see, it's true that the sins of the fathers are passed on to the children to the third and the fourth generation. That's a truth. But it's also true that the blessing of a godly life will also make an impact on the generations that are to follow as well. Number 8, why should we study character? In order to be a proper testimony to a lost world. You see, the world is attracted to a Christianity with character, and it is repelled from a Christianity without character. I went knocking door to door. I come from Northern Ireland, and my hometown of Belfast. I went door knocking one summer when I was home from college, and just inviting people to church that didn't go to church, and the opportunities that I would be able to have to witness and to share the gospel. And several times, as I toured the neighborhood and knocked on doors, I was asked the question, "Well, does so-and-so go to your church?" And I said, "Yes. He goes to our church." He says, "Well, if he goes to your church, I want nothing to do with it." You see, he didn't have character. Was he a Christian? Yes, most likely. But he was a Christian who was living for himself and nobody else. It doesn't matter who you are. Humility is attractive. Pride is repulsive. Truthfulness is attractive. Deceitfulness is repulsive. Obedience is attractive. Willfulness is repulsive. You may like being rebellious. A young person may like being rebellious, but you won't like it when you see it in someone else. I know when my daughters babysit, and they have a little 3 or 4 year old who is very willful, strong-willed, and wants his own way. They don't like that, but they don't mind it in themselves. You know, so we find the world mocks a Christianity without character, and the world wants to see a difference. But many times there's very little difference today between Christians and the world. And if our Christianity is going to be effective in reaching a lost world for Jesus Christ, then it needs to be a Christianity with character. And then number 9, why study character? In order to have an accurate gauge by which to measure the maturity of our children. Now, the world gives all kinds of tests before you can get into certain jobs. If you pass the test, you get the job. If you don't, you go somewhere else. Have you noticed that we don't give any tests for something as critical and important as marriage? What is more important, being successful in a job or career, or having a successful marriage? And a wise parent will begin at a very early age to teach their children character and evaluating where their children are at and what character qualities they need to develop. You know, most conflicts in marriage, I'm involved in counseling, and most of the conflicts that I find that are involved in marriage or even in churches can be traced back to an absence of character. Now, here's a husband, and he comes home to dinner late, or he expects his dinner to be on the table at 6:30, and his wife is 45 minutes behind. And he starts getting upset, and he starts yelling. What character quality is he missing? He didn't develop that before he was married. And now they have all kinds of conflicts and all kinds of problems in their marriage because of this lack of character. You know what his parents should have done? They shouldn't have let him get married until he had developed certain character qualities in his life. Here's a couple, and they have problems in their marriage, and 2 or 3 days of disagreements, and they want a divorce right now. What character qualities have they not developed? Here's a couple, and one of them has been wronged, and the other says, it's no good. I just can't take it anymore. They did me wrong, and I just can't live with them anymore. What character qualities have they never developed? You know, you can save your children if you invest in the character training of your children, of your sons and your daughters, your grandchildren. You can save them many a heartache in the future. You teach them how to forgive when you've been hurt and wronged. You teach them how to yield their rights instead of fighting for their rights. And you can save them, you could possibly save their future marriage and countless conflicts and issues and problems that they're going to experience in life. Character is so important, and we teach it primarily by modeling it before our children. That means as parents, it's not just do what I say, but you need to model, do as I do. And when you blow it, when you make mistakes, you humbly come to your kids and your children and you say, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? So we start by modeling it before our children. But then studying it, and this is one of the reasons why we put together the Character Journal website, as providing resources for our children or for parents to be able to teach godly character to their sons and daughters. And every character quality, Jesus is personified in every one of them. And no matter what character quality it is, the gospel can be brought right into it. We use character, even in Awana's back in England, we emphasized a different character quality each month and how that was demonstrated in the life of Jesus and in various Bible stories, but the gospel just comes right into it with each one. And then another way that we can teach character is by praising our children. You know, we have a tendency, and I mentioned that yesterday to the men, to be negative and critical even as Christians. What we need to do is not be negative and critical toward our children, but we need to praise them for even the smallest display of character. And several things wrong with the way that we often praise. One is we don't praise enough. We tend to be critical. Criticism creates insecurities, it creates bitterness, it causes rebellion. But praise creates an atmosphere of love and joy and acceptance. And it's amazing what a little bit of praise can do to encourage your son or daughter. Amazing what a little bit of praise can do to encourage your spouse, your husband, your wife. If you can't think of anything to praise your children for, and sometimes it's difficult, ask the Lord to show you. Said even a conceited person has at least one good quality. He doesn't talk about other people. So there are qualities there that you can look for in your children, and be sure to praise them for character. And then many times when we do praise, we tend to praise the wrong thing. We tend to praise in our culture achievement and accomplishment and beauty or strength. And when we praise these things, it's very easy to create pride and envy and jealousy and conflict. What we need to praise is character. Proverbs 27 and verse 21 says, "As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." And what that verse tells us is that praise is a purifier. It motivates those we praise to develop more of that same quality. That's why we need to be very careful what you praise for little ones. You laugh at a little child's rude behavior. What are you going to get more of? You're going to get more of that rude behavior, but you praise that child for his kindness, for his willingness to share toys, for being willing to forgive when someone has hurt him. Then you're going to get more of that same quality. Character is important. And the Bible is full of praise for character. Abraham was praised for his obedience. Daniel praised for his decisiveness. Ruth praised for her virtue. Jesus praised Peter for his discernment. We tend to praise for reading and memorizing the Bible. Jesus didn't. Jesus praised those who obeyed the Bible, not just read it, memorized it, but following through and obeying it. Why should we praise? Because Jesus is a personification of all of these character qualities, and we need to encourage each other to be more like him. Our character is our destiny. You're not going to become what you learn. You're going to become what you are. And we have a crisis in our country today, and it's a moral crisis. It has nothing to do with education or a lack of funds for education. We have never had more education than we have today, and we've never had the problems that we're having today. And I firmly believe that we're living in the last days. Things may not get better. They may get worse. And we need to get back to teaching character to our children and to our grandchildren. May the Lord bless you, the opportunities that each of you have to invest in your children, in your grandchildren, in the boys and girls that you teach in Sunday schools. And remember, the most important way of teaching character is to model it. And to make that the most important quest in your life, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ.